and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Hope everybody had a wonderful Father's Day. We got another round of storms Saturday evening. Let's see what I get. 7/10 there at our place. I don't know what I got down to Willow. Looks like it rained quite a bit more down in that area than it did where I was. Tornado at Laverne, touchdown, damage was done. Straight line winds in Tulsa, all over Oklahoma. Matter of fact, if I remember my figures right, there's like over 140,000 PSO customers still without electricity, 44,000 OG&E, and then on our co-ops, 33,000. I don't know. I've got some guessing going on there, but I bet I'm really close on those numbers. Anyway, so still a lot going off. Hopefully they'll get all that going on back on here in the next few days. Currently at Hollis, Oklahoma, 89 degrees. Altus, Tipton, Grandfield, you're all at 91. Mangum's at 87. Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon, is 81. That's actually the coolest spot in the state right now, believe it or not. 85 degrees at Woodward, 84 degrees at Slapout, 88 degrees at the May Ranch. 86 degrees at May Ranch. And what is that? Oh, that's Cherokee. 89 degrees there. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, probably much of the same. 92 degrees at Odell, 90 at Goodlett, 86 at Dozer, 81 at Miami, and 83 at Lipscomb. Today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour. We'll have more about them coming up after the OCA first break here in a few minutes. I was out of curiosity. Most everybody's got the Mesonet app on their phone. I was looking back at the rainfall. Just going to go over this a little bit with you, because rainfall is important to farming, whether you guys know that or not. 4.39 inches of rain has fallen in the last 30 days at Grandfield. This is from the Mesonet Center, so I know some people have got more and some people have got less, so I'm going off by the Mesonet. 3.41 inches at Tipton, 5.88 inches at Hollis. Eric has missed some of these storms. 3.23 inches at Eric, 6.9 inches at Elk City. And right here on the Gabe Gadget Mesonet Center, we have our own Mesonet here, fully designed by Gabe. I don't know if that's good or bad, but anyway, it seems to work pretty good. We've got 7.5 inches of rain this month, so that's 19 days. So between the Elk City Mesonet Center, south of Elk City, there by the old Shell plant, I think that's where it's at, inch and a half difference, and this is 30 days, and this in here is 19. So anyway, quite a bit of difference. 6.73 inches at Arnett. What's amazing is out there in the Panhandle, Oklahoma, usually they just, you see a half inch here, quarter here, blah, 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 and it's not. We got at Goodwill, almost 5.5 inches. Hooker, 6.35 inches. Beaver, 9.39 inches. I want to tell you something. If they didn't get any of these hailstorms up there at Beaver, and they've got 9.5 inches of rain so far, it's not even July 1st yet, there's going to be some good quail hunting going on up there this year, I'm guessing. 5.57 inches at Slapout, 6.22 inches at the May Ranch. Back here where there's a little bit more rain, Fairview, almost 8 inches. Watonga, scope short of 7 inches. 7.5 inches at Weatherford. 10.78 inches at Bessie, 10.75 inches at Butler. So anyway, lots of good rains in the last month, and we're going to pay for it now. Summer is officially here, and it's going to be, looks like the next couple of weeks, it's going to be hot. Okay, let's see what's going on here. I'm just going to give you an update on the market when it closed Friday, because it's all shut down because of the holiday today. Closing out Friday, corn, July, $6.40, up 17. September was $5.94, up 24. Soybeans for July, $14.66, up 38. Up 39 for August at 14.07. Soybean meal, July, $416.40 a short ton. That was up 22. August was $413.40, up 23. $409.10 for September, up 22 also. July, soybean oil, $59.69, $58.76 for August, and $58.23 for September. Hard red winter wheat, July, $8.42, up 29. September, $8.39, up over 30. And oats for July, up 404 a bushel, up 1, 405 for September. And that 404 was for July. Even cotton had started coming back up. Just the scotch, enough to not really talk about, but it was at least in the green. July cotton was 81 cents a pound. October was 82 cents a pound. All right, let's take a Oklahoma Cattlemen Association break. When I come back, we'll talk some livestock. I got all the numbers in from last week from the USDA, from the sale barns, and we'll go from there. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I open new accounts, CDs, IRAs, help our customers with online banking, order debit cards, anything that has to do with checking accounts, savings accounts, opening those up for new customers or helping our existing customers with any issues or things that they might have with an account. They want customer service. They want someone to just know who they are, and they want someone that they can trust. I'm Tori Ashpaw, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust at Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply near Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Good afternoon once again to Jimmy's Great Stewards of the Land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday,
June 12th. 680 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 279 brought 380. 50. 8 at 389 brought 298. 6 at 447 brought 300. 22 at 507 brought 274. 7 at 594 brought 232. 54 at 810 brought 221. 50. 4 at 884 brought 196. 6 head of heifers at 372 brought 261. 4 at 463 brought 247. 3 at 615 brought 221. 7 at 640 brought 218. 8 at 686 brought 218. 34 at 839 brought 194. 7 at 909 brought 187. Butcher cows were 10 to 112. Butcher bulls brought 94 to 131. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Currently here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanette Center, 83.8 degrees, humidity's at 63, no wind, and like I said, 7.48 inches of rain so far in the month of June, and just going on. Out here in Texas, I'm going to go south. I'm going to go south of the Red River to Odell. 92 degrees currently there, heat index at 100. Humidity's at 53%, dew point's at 72. The winds are out of the south at 10 miles an hour with gusts up to a whopping 11 miles an hour. So far, the peak wind gust today is at 23. I did remember getting up about 4:30 this morning headed to Oklahoma City, and that wind was blowing nicely. It wasn't just blowing me off the road. But anyway, there was some wind early this morning, so no big dew this morning. 8-inch soil temperature is 83 degrees. So that caught my attention. So I went back up through there on the West Texas Mezzanette Center, and I scanned through there. So I started at Wellington. Wellington, 8-inch soil temperature is 80 degrees. I went to McLean. They don't have one. I went to Dozer, sorry. And 8-inch soil temperature there is 75. Went to Lipscomb. And 8-inch soil temperature there is 73. And also at Canadian. So there's 10 and a 2-hour drive probably, if it's that far. There's 10 degrees difference between the northeastern Texas panhandle and right there, North Texas there. Might as well call it the southeastern part of the Texas panhandle. 10 degrees difference in the 8-inch soil temperature. So it's crazy. 5.76 inches of rain so far down there. And anyway, back to that. Okay. Friday, when the markets closed on cattle, they were up. Everything was in the green. Everything was in the green Friday at the close going into Father's Day, except for oil and the S&P, the NASDAQ, and the Dow. So anyway, it was a pretty good Friday if you had grain and livestock to sell. Live cattle for June, 178.35. August was 171.72. October was 175.35. December, 179.10. Feeder cattle for August, 234.92. And September was 238.17. Lean hogs for July, 92.85. August was 90.67. October was 80.07. Anyway. I forget to ask, the text line is wide open, the Today in Ag text line at 580-225-9697. Let me know what you guys did for Father's Day. Hope you, all the fathers had a great Father's Day weekend. Anyway, cooked some steaks out on the grill. What'd you do? Let me know what you did. Yeah, I appreciate it. You don't have to put your name on there. Just let me know what you did. Ah, weighted cattle for Oklahoma last week. Summary, 32,018 head sold through the sale barns, 32,918 the week before, 26,653 a year ago last week. Compared to last week, feeder steers were mostly steady, feeder heifers steady to $3 higher, demand good despite several days of cattle futures trading in the red. Steer and heifer calves sold $4 to $10 lower with increased number of unweaned calves included. Demand moderate to good for calves. Quality not as attractive as many barns last week, leading one to believe we're at the end of the winter graze out run. Rain continues to fall across the state of Oklahoma. Thus, wheat harvest has been halted again. Slaughter cows were steady to $2 higher. Slaughter bulls sold steady. Demand moderate for slaughter cows, but was very good for replacement cows and pairs. And I did see that. A few numbers. Let's just go through here. The 3-4 weights looked like they were bringing the highest I see in here was 365 for some 332 weights. Some thin flesh brought 347 and weighed 368. And then we got some fours that was bringing up to 324 is the highest I seen. They had some that were unwinged at 275, so that was kind of, that's quite a bit of difference there. That's 40, 50 cents. 10, 15 cents I can handle, but you talk 40, 50 cents. Now you're getting into the old pocketbook. Some five weights we're bringing up to 297. Looks like 234 was a low end. Some six weights up to 270. Yes, 270 was the highest ones I've seen on there. Seven weights, 238. Eight weights up to 231. Nine weights up to 221.75 was the high end. Looks like on the average, the nine weights were bringing around 212 to 217 per pound. And 1,000-pound weights, they almost had 200 head weighing 1,000, or the average 1,009 weight pounds was bringing anywhere from 198 to 205. So that's a pretty good chunk of change, don't you think? All right, heifers, real quick, like on them. Them are steers, calves. There we go. Heifers, 4-5 weights up to 271. Seven weights we're bringing high end. I see over there is 221.50. Eight weights 215. Nine weights 204. And some of the 204. They were fancy. Most of them were bringing somewhere between 176 and 200. So there you go. I have your cows and bulls tomorrow. All right, let's check out what's going on. And hey, don't go anywhere because I'm going to have Mr. Bo Froz on. He is a custom harvester from Kansas, Inman, Kansas, up there north. It's north and east of Hutchinson, Kansas. Kind of know where it's at. I don't think I've been through there hunting before. He's a custom harvester, and he's also the treasurer for the U.S. Custom Harvest, Inc., and he's going to come on at the third segment and talk to us about how wheat harvest went down there at Vernon. He's up by O'Keen now, and we'll have a good interview with him to see what's going on, what he's hearing with harvest and everything. Some guys have been hearing as low as 10 bushels. I've heard some high as 60 bushels, and so we'll check that out. Okay, let's go to Texas. See what happened at the sale barns. They had a kind of a down week. 3,946 head was sold there compared to 2,200 last year or last week, and then 4,100 a year ago. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold steady to $3 higher. Trade activity was moderate on moderate to good demand. Slaughter cows and bulls were steady. Supply included 80% feeder and 3% replacement, 17% slaughter, and I guess that was it. Okay, let's check out what they were getting for steers over there. 5-6 weights were bringing up to 301, 6-7 weights up to 258, 7-8 weights up to 228, 8 weights were bringing up to, what we got here, 222.50. And then that's about it for them. Wasn't much there. Heifers, where you at? Here you are. Okay, heifers, 5 weights, 252. 6 weights, 228. I'm giving you the top end. There wasn't a lot of difference, but they're all right in there, give or take 10 or 15 cents one way or the other. 7 weight heifers, 211 was top end. 8 weights was 193.50. So, like I said, I'll have your slaughter bulls and cows tomorrow. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is a member-led and member-driven organization that provides legislative representation to protect things like your farm sales tax exemption, water rights, property rights, up to $10,000 theft reward program to assist in gathering information if you experience livestock theft, in-person and virtual producer education, beef direct sales list that connect consumers with OCA members marketing beef, monthly issues of the Cowman magazine, and weekly email updates and issues videos. For $100 a year, you can experience all those member benefits and so much more. That's less than $2 a week, or a little over $8 a month, to have an association that's working full-time to represent you and to help protect your way of life. In other words, they'll always have your back. www.okcattleman.org or call Miss Lori at 580-273-5137. Let's see if anybody's in on there. Nope, not yet. It's all quiet on a Monday. Everybody's still laying on the couch getting a deal. Come on, text in here. What's your 580-225-9697. What did you do for your father yesterday? Or as a father, what did you do yesterday? Me, I got up, worked in the garden yesterday morning, because in the evening the gnats and the mosquitoes are just something. We got another hailstorm at the house Saturday night. It finished off, I think I'm down to less than 50% in the garden. Watermelon and cantaloupes, and thrashed the leaves on the tomato plants pretty good, and it knocked a bunch of them off on the okra. So I'm just gonna, hey, it is what it is now. I'm gonna just keep it watered, and if it doesn't look like it's gonna make it, I'm done. I'm not replanting. Might replant some cantaloupe or something in the other garden, the small garden, but got that done. Want to spend some time with some of my friends over at Sayre and play a little golf. I think I won. They won any money, but I know I won better, the best score. But, you know, sometimes you get cheated out of quarters and dimes, so it's all right. But anyway, let's take an OCA break. We come back, I'm going to have Mr. Bo Franz on one of the custom harvesters, wheat harvesters up by Old King right now. We'll talk to him, see how everything's going. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hi, it's Jenny from your local Big Deal store. If you run a business and are looking for a fun and creative way to market it, Big Deals might just be a great fit. Imagine a radio marketing program that allows you to trade for your advertising schedule. Interested? Give us a shout and see for yourself.
If you'd like more information about Route 66 Big Deals, call 580-225-9696 and we'll be happy to show you how this program can benefit your business.
A good afternoon to Jimmy, the great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June 9th. 899 head were sold. Six head of steers at 381 brought 312. Five at 428 brought 316. Seven at 446 brought 282. Six at 520 brought 272. Eight at 614 brought 251. Five at 625 brought 250. 16 at 650 brought 220. Six head of heifers at 473 brought 258. Seven at 509 brought 243. Three at 522 brought 236. Five at 523 brought 240, 11 at 525 brought 248, 4 at 665 brought 216, 8 at 844 brought 182, butcher cows were 60 to 120, butcher bulls brought 96 to 139, bred cows were 650 to 1735, pairs brought 1300 to 2600, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
For your next special occasion, Simon's Catch offers the romance and beauty of the country with the most delectable food of Elk City's finest restaurant. Enjoy the radiant colors of an Oklahoma sunset, the peaceful beauty of a walk through the woods, and the enchantment of a delicious meal. Simon's Catch offers a superb menu, including excellent farm-fresh catfish, USDA choice steaks, and more. Simon's Catch Restaurant, the perfect catch for special occasions or no occasion at all. From I-40, exit 34, go 1.5 miles south and 1.5 miles west.
It's summertime and the living is easy when you drive away in a new 2023 Chevrolet Silverado from Cummins and Weatherford. You'll get an easy sales staff, an easy experience in service, and easy time with quick financing. So ease on down the road to summer savings at Cummins for your favorite new 2023 Chevrolet truck, or get sizzling savings on a new 2023 Tahoe right now at Cummins. Cummins Cadillac Chevrolet Buick GMC in Weatherford, I-40 and Airport Road, and online at CumminsBPG.com. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, we're back from that Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. I have picked the big city of Slapout. That's as close as Laverne Maisonette as I can get. Currently, it's 85 degrees at Slapout. Humidity is 51, dew point 65. No rainfall in the last 24 hours. The winds are out of the south-southeast at 19 miles an hour. Sunset, finally, 1 past 9 o'clock, officially, that is, 9:02 p.m. Sunny and 95 today. Tomorrow, 96. Wednesday, 93. Wednesday night, you got a chance, a 30% chance of thunderstorms. Thursday, 30% chance of thunderstorms. Thursday night, 20%. And Friday, 86 for high. So that little front coming through Wednesday night is going to cool things off for you guys up there at Slapout, Oklahoma. All right, on the phone with me right now, and I think he's in O'Keene, if I remember right, is Bo Fraze. And he is the treasurer for the U.S. Custom Harvesters, Inc., and he has a custom combine crew out of Inman, Kansas, right there northeast of Hutchinson, Kansas. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. It's good to be here.
Yeah. I know you guys have seen some. We went from a drought since you guys showed up to more rain. We won't know what to do with, but we're not complaining. So.
Yeah, we still need it, even though it's inconvenient right now. It's got to happen.
So, anyway, so you got, you, if I remember right, you started out down by Vernon. Is that right?
Yeah. We got our... got our wheat harvest start down by Vernon, Texas, and saw some pretty good wheat down there.
Yeah, what was your kind of just the average?
Average overall was right around 50 bushels to the acre.
So we were
pretty impressed.
Yeah, really good. Well, you know, and to them they were getting down south the Red River. There was getting some showers there during the spring, so that really helped them with their harvest. With their yields, for sure. How many acres do you guys estimate it? Do you end up cutting down there?
We were probably right around almost 3,000.
I got you. How many crews you got? How many combines you running?
Well, I've got 5 combines. We're only running 2 so far this season. A little bit because of lower acreages. I mean, down at Vernon we were all right, but poor yields and less acres out here. Around O'Keene, and also because I've got a custom forage chopping crew too that's working, and I've got part of my crew doing that right now.
Where are you chopping at?
We've got one crew that just finished up over by Guymon, Oklahoma, and another one that is trying to finish but just keeps getting rained on by Sublette, Kansas.
Oh, I got you. I know right where that's at. What's the rain got to do with chopping? The wetter the forage, the better it is, isn't it?
Well, you want that forage around 65% moisture. The problem is they've been getting so much rain that we just can't get into the field. We get a good day in, and then all of a sudden the storms build up, and next thing you know, the crop's all underwater, and we've got to wait a few days before we can get a swather back down to lay down that triticale so we can chop it.
Right. And then is that what you are you swathing, and then you go through there and do you let it lay any at all before you start chopping? I guess you have to if you want the moisture just right, huh?
We've got to let it lay a little bit, and early on in its maturity, it's got more moisture in the plant, and sometimes we're letting it lay up to a day. But at this point, we're so far behind schedule that we're just running with our pickup heads right behind the swather, trying to get it before it dries down too much.
Right. Is it my imagination, or I just hadn't paid that much attention, is there more chopping going on nowadays than there was 5 or 10 years ago?
I really think there is. There's been a lot of new construction of dairies and feedlots. A lot of the new construction has been dairies, but a lot of feedlots have also expanded. And so they are using up more acres than they used to. It's shifted from grain harvest into forage for cattle feed.
Right. And is there, like, you're doing a lot of triticale, and I know Bert Hudson chopped a bunch of triticale right there by my place south of here.
Mm-hmm.
Is triticale and corn, is that the main two things you guys chop, or is there more out there?
Those are probably gotten to be the biggest two. We also do some sorghum that's a little later in the fall that we'll chop also, but as far as tons and acres go, our biggest two crops would be triticale and corn.
And all right, well, I'm not getting sidetracked. I got me a harvester on here, so we're going to talk harvest. We'll get to the wheat harvest around O'Keene. I'm sorry, but I'm just curious. I'm just curious. I'm a curious guy. How's that? So they,
sure.
What's the maintenance like on one of those choppers?
There is so much material running through those things. There, you know, a lot of them are, you know, up around 800 or 900 horsepower, and so they are shoving feed through as fast as they can, and just a lot of high wear parts. And so it's not uncommon to, on a machine that's not traded off, that we're getting ready to run another season, to spend, $30,000 or $40,000 on each winter just to get it ready to go, and, you know, maybe another 10 or so through the season just on replacing wear parts.
So do you know of your hired hands? Do they ever have chopper drag races out there through corn silage? Have you ever caught them doing that?
it definitely happens, and you know there's a little bit of competitive spirit, especially in the choppers. Of you don't want to get outcut by the guy next to you, and I remember that from when I was running them full time too. Of you got to be at least as fast as that guy running next to you. So they're working those machines pretty hard, and It's all fine and gets a lot of production done.
As long as they're not tearing stuff up.
Push a little bit too hard and plug it.
Yeah. Well, they, all right. So, curious question. Do you have a defined number? I'm sure it depends on what you're cutting, what forage you're cutting. Do you have a defined number of trucks per chopper that can keep up and you don't have to have the chopper sitting there waiting or anything?
We kind of have a rough idea. We'd like to have 5 or 6 trucks per chopper, and the past couple of years that's been tough to find. But yeah, that number does vary depending on how far we're hauling it and how good the seed is, and that kind of thing.
That when you say that's been pretty tough the last couple of years, I'm sure you're going through the same thing as everybody else is. Are you talking about getting drivers?
We're talking about getting drivers for our own trucks, and then also I don't have enough trucks to keep my own choppers busy, and so I'm hiring a lot of outside trucks also, just independent contractors that have a truck and a trailer that want to come haul, and you know, it's a lot of us choppers are busy at the same time, and so the time, you know, we're trying to line guys up, they say, yeah, we'll come haul, and then it gets time to get busy. And, well, I'm hauling for somebody else this week because I told them I'd come too, so we're always a little bit short.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that always goes on. And what's a so just to estimate it, you know, I get estimated costs. What do choppers charge generally nationwide or Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas Panhandle? How do they charge? They charge by the acre, you're by the hour? How's that go?
As far as charging, yeah, for what we're doing in this region of the country is usually by the ton. And the choppers are going to be somewhere around 10 or 11 bucks a ton to get feed chopped.
So you like the pivots better than you do the dry land, I guess?
we definitely do, but... you know, we'll take whatever we can get to keep the wheels moving.
Oh, I know I had some listeners out here going, Jimmy, quit it. So anyway, but no, that's cool. And so is most of the chopping that you do for independent farmers, or do you do some for feedlots or dairies? I mean, dairies are the same as farmers and ranchers, but do you do any for any big companies that just go out and they buy their own crop and hire you to come in and do it?
It's kind of a mix of all those things. A lot of the feedlots and dairies that we do chop for will have some of their own ground that they farm. I guess some do, some don't. And what a lot of it is independent farmers that are growing crops specifically to be chopped for those feedlots and dairies. And then there are a lot of also just independent farmers that have their own cattle that, you know, want some good quality feed that are raising their own silage also. But the vast majority of our tons are for those feedlots and dairies hiring just or buying that crop for in the field from a farmer.
Right. What's the most craziest thing you've seen people store silage in? Have you seen anything that's out of the normal?
Everybody's kind of got their own thing, but it's, you know, just with all the silage studies that are out there, it's become a lot more uniform over the last few years of, you know, either a bunker with walls or a drive over pile. You get into some of the smaller jobs and they use bags, but really gotten to be pretty uniform. I mean, we really don't see silo filling, like an actual upright silo filling anymore, but I don't know, it's hard to think of anything too crazy. You get too far outside the lines and your feed quality goes down, and that's not what people are looking for.
Gotcha. Yeah, the old harvest stores, you don't see them anymore.
No, it's pretty labor intensive and to get it all in there, and feed out's a little bit slower, and anymore the name of the game is to get it done quickly, and that's what people are looking for.
Cool. Well, back to wheat harvest. I got sidetracked.
Sure.
On chopping. I knew you was chopping and just I didn't remember, and then I when you yeah. brought it up, it was good because it's kind of neat to talk about that. You're up by O'Keen right now. You're waiting on things to dry out. You said you hadn't even cut a full field yet, so you don't even have a good test run yet. But you got a feeling. Is it looking okay, I guess?
We can definitely see the effects of the drought a little more up here.
Okay.
Just the, you know, the wheat's a lot thinner just because of drought through the spring yet. You know, the spray and especially the pre-emerge didn't do what it needed to do, and so we're seeing some more grass and weeds growing up within that wheat that makes all a little bit tougher too. But I mean, from what I'm seeing, I'm guessing we'll see yields, you know, maybe 15 to 20 bushels to the acre, and you know, it's kind of a salvage crop to get the best of what's left.
Well, that if you get now tuning in, I got Mr. Bo Fraze on here with me. He's a custom harvester out of Kansas. He started at Vernon. He's worked his way up to O'Keen. Well, we haven't heard nothing but horror stories about very northern part of Oklahoma and a big chunk of Kansas. And you live right there north and east of Hutchinson. Would you kind of let us in on what the wheat crop really looks like up there in Kansas?
Yeah, and up there in the Hutchinson area is kind of where the rain started not coming down anymore, and depending on if you're east or west of Hutch, is kind of a big difference. And where we live there, I mean, we were expecting wheat of maybe 5 bushels to the acre. We actually chopped some of the wheat for our neighbors, you know, back when it didn't look like much. But then rain started coming a little bit, and the wheat that was there that had much potential at all was able to actually fill decently. And, you know, I've still heard, you know, reports of some of that 5 to 10 bushel wheat, and I've heard one guy cut some wheat there near Hutch that made around 40. And so, you know, there's a few bright spots here and there, but by and large, it's not very good. And you go west from Hutch, and the farther west you go, the worse it gets for the most part. In southwest Kansas especially, I would guess more than half the acres are gone. They've either been sprayed or just blown out and never came up, and guys are looking into fall crops.
What are you seeing them putting in a lot of summer crops for hay and stuff like that, or are they just letting lay out and just waiting until the fall?
A little bit of each, and I think there's a lot of guys planting milo too, just trying to get something to grow for this year, and then just praying for rain throughout the summer to make that milo, or might be a few guys trying corn too, but trying to hope something will grow anyway.
Right. So you guys are in O'Keen. Where's your next stop?
Pratt, Kansas.
I've been there. And mm-hmm. And then so how far north do you guys go?
The end of our wheat harvest run is up in northeast Colorado.
Okay.
And from what I've heard there is, you know, there's some wheat that came up last fall that had snow cover through the winter and looks pretty good, and there's some that didn't get the snow cover that blew out through the winter and it's all gone already.
So kind of same story everywhere through from right there in northeast Colorado down through Kansas and Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Luckily down there south of Red River they got some rains and had some pretty decent wheat. And you know, I heard down there around Frederick and down in that area and there around Tipton stuff, they did pretty good on their wheat harvest too. And I think according to the drought monitor and the USDA, around Frederick and Tipton and Granfield and down in there, that's where all the good wheat that was being reported was going on. So they got some good rains in down there. And there's been some mm-hmm. decent crops around here from what I've heard, you know, and I say decent, anywhere 10 to 15 bushels. Some might make 25. But according to the year we've all had in this 3-state area, we'll take it.
Yeah, any bushels that's out there, we ought to be thankful for, because there's sure a lot of bushels that are missing.
Well, so have you got some high school kids on your crew?
I don't. All my guys are pretty young, not quite that young. The youngest ones are just out of high school and got a lot of 18, 19-year-olds, and a few that are a couple years older than that.
You got a lot of people in western Oklahoma that the school's been out about 2 weeks now, and they're probably already sick of their kids. Do you want to get a recruit? You want to recruit some of them to get on your crew, or are you guys full up, or how to get a? Hey, how do you? David told me last time he was on, I don't remember what he said, but if there's some kids out there that want to go on harvest, whether it's wheat harvest or cotton harvest, or mm-hmm. even go out chopping with you guys, what's the best way for them to find a custom harvester to work for besides word of mouth?
The best way I know of is go to USCHI.com. That's the website for the U.S. Custom Harvesters Organization. And there is a link to click right there that says want to work for a custom harvester. And I've got a full crew myself right now, but I know there's a lot of the crews that are still looking, and I bet if they put their name in, I bet they get snatched up pretty quick.
Good. Well, good. Well, I wish you the best of luck. And, hey, let's get another update from you when you get up to Pratt.
All right. Sounds good.
You don't mind calling? I appreciate you calling me today. All right. Well, Bo, thanks for coming on, and good luck with harvest.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy. Glad to do it.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's take an OCA break. And when I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
I was a teacher, and so I taught him in high school. What I always noticed about Mickey was what a leader he was. And part of it is because he's so willing to do the work himself. We had an incident this past December. We had the freeze in Mangum, had a pipe bust in the wall, and it's just a mess. And Gary called Mickey, and honestly, the plumber did arrive first, but Mickey and his daughter were right behind him. They brought tools, and they helped Gary clean out the bedroom, and they mopped the floor, they took the carpet up. And when they left, I told Gary, I said, we couldn't live in a better town because that would never happen anywhere else. And we're very thankful to have him. I'm Celia Nippert, and Gary and I use Mickey Lively because we know that when we have a need for our insurance, that Mickey and Farm Bureau will take good care of
it. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Advanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, let me get this corrected. So I messed. There it is. I got it back up. All right, let's go over here to the Mezzanet and switch cities. And I'm going to go with Altus. How about that? 93 degrees, feels like 101. Dew point is 71, humidity's 49. Man, I bet it's muggy down there. Southeast winds at 10 miles an hour. Sunset at 8:53. Today, 104. Tomorrow, 104. Wednesday, 101. Thursday, 93. Friday, 96. Just doesn't look that great temperature-wise. Okay, let me check this out here real quick on the text line. Had a few texts come in during the show or during the interview. All right, 7.2 inches of rain in the last 30 days northwest of Willow. Another guy in Harmon swathing and baling love grass right now, making 2.5 bales to the acre. How about that? That's pretty cool. Anyway, we got, let's see here. Okay, follow your nose. One easy fix if you smell chemicals in the gap. There's two different kinds of filters you can put in there, the standard paper filter or the activated charcoal filter. It's not uncommon to get minor headaches or deal with sniffles when spraying agriculture chemicals if the cab of your tractor or self-propelled sprayer is well sealed and the problem isn't simply due to air leaks, then activated charcoal cab filters might be your solution. A seed corn company in my area that sprays herbicides or pesticides all summer long had problems with its sprayers, operators complaining about headaches and sinus problems. They switched the cab air filters in all their self-propelled sprayers from standard paper elements to activated charcoal elements, and those complaints went away. Their rule of thumb for their sprayer operators is now if you start to smell chemicals in the cab, change the activated carbon air filter. Over time, activated charcoal filters become saturated and lose their ability to absorb annoying fumes. Several mainline self-propelled sprayer manufacturers offer optional activated charcoal air filters through their part system. Otherwise, do an internet search for activated charcoal air filter system for tractors, sprayers, and several options will appear. There, that's just your Jimmy help you along tip of the day. Survey finds consumers are spending 6.9% more on food. Reported food spending has increased to its highest level since the Consumer Food Insights report began surveying January 2022, possibly leaving consumers feeling little relief from inflation. Reflecting this reality, consumers say they are spending 6.9% more on food, an uptick from last month, according to the May survey report. At the same time, the report shows the rate of grocery stockouts have continued to decrease. There's a possible sign for consumer spending as it means less upward pressure on prices. The survey-based report out of Purdue University Center for Food Demand Analysts and Sustainability accesses food spending, consumer satisfaction and values, support of agriculture and food policies, and trust in information. They surveyed 1,200 people, according to this report. Key points here, the key data point in food security is the decline in the average number of months that households are spending on Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, the SNAP program. The trend suggests that people are leaving SNAP at a higher rate. After slowly climbing throughout 2022, this decline appears to correlate with the February end to the pandemic-related SNAP expansions. But we will have to wait for more government data to get a better picture of whether SNAP participation is shifting. The latest survey also shows that majority of shoppers with limited budgets are shopping at dollar stores, even for food items, and they are interested in shopping more if dollar stores expand their options. That coincides with the recent Rutgers report suggesting that brand names are betting on dollar stores. Given this current investment from brands, we will definitely revisit this topic to see whether consumers come to further rely on dollar stores. Additional key results include food insecurity is up 16% from 14%. But remains within the same 3 percentage point range since January of 2022. Grocery stockouts continue to trend downward, hitting their lowest point since January of 2022. A few foods are still hard to find. Thrifty food spenders are more likely to eat vegetarian, grow a food garden, and compose food scraps. The latest survey data also showed that spending more on food does not necessarily mean people will be happier with their diets. Said somewhere that They see the difference in the food spending groups, which they classify as thrifty, less than $50 a week, moderate, $50 to $85 a week, and liberal, more than $85. I didn't know it's going to be political, but anyway, liberal, $85 a week, includes thrifty spenders more often choosing generic brand foods, but they also observe some unexpected similarities, such as thrifty and liberal spenders choosing organics or cage-free eggs at similar rates. There you go. Updated you on a great big Monday. So I see you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.